and we welcome you all. This is Sunday, February 25th, 2018. Last week we had a beautiful snowfall. Today we're having a lovely rain. We'll know that our February showers will bring May flowers. And our subject today is mind, and the golden text is Romans 12. And before we start that, I will have Florence read our morning prayer.
All right. This is Mrs. Eddy from the Blue Book. May the light of Christian Science, which lighteth every enlightened thought, illumine my faith and understanding, exclude all darkness and doubt, signal the perfect faith wherein to walk, the perfect principle whereby to demonstrate the perfect man and perfect law of God. O my God, show me thy way and keep me in that way.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Mary Baker Eddy, Miscellaneous Writings. We today in this classroom are enough to convert the world if we are of one mind, for then the whole world will feel the influence of this mind, as when the earth was without form, and mind spake, and form appeared. Is Day Day here? She sent me some beautiful little poems that she... prayers, I guess they are, prayers for that she gives to Ava before she goes to bed and before she goes to school. Sometime when she's here, she can give them to us all. Okay, our golden text, Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now I'd like comments on the golden text and also on the responsive reading.
I thought a lot about the golden text, be not conformed to this world. I actually tried to write a forum post on it, but I couldn't really get far. But I was just thinking about how it seemed like a lot in my life there was this push to that me being quiet, you know, just liking to do the things I do was wrong to other people, you know, not wanting to go party or whatever else other people wanted to do. They just really wanted me to think I was wrong to give up and do these things. So I don't know, I just think of that being conformed. There's always that push to conform to what society and peer pressure and all that stuff. I'm glad to come here and see that there was a reason for the way I am, and it makes sense.
Thank you. Sure, that's very helpful. I'm just sure there are many people who feel that way. Go ahead.
Yes, I thought that also. For when it applies to me, it's like being the only Christian Science in a place, you know, either in the family or in a place of work, and not allowing yourself to be conformed to what everybody's saying or everybody is talking about, having that firm belief or thought that, you know, God is the only one ruling, and he's the only one that is directing everything. That's what I thought when I read that, and renewing your mind, that it's like constantly keeping in mind the thought that God is all, and he is the overseer and the ruler of everything, whether it's in the family situation or it's in the work situation.
Yes, thank you. Because you have to replace that thought that they're all, you know, different to they're all the children of God, and they are receptive to this truth. That was in the Watching Point, which you had mentioned yesterday, Pilar.
Yes.
And
yes.
Very important that we turn it around. Otherwise, we are inadvertently malpracticing on everyone else. We have to see them in the kingdom of God, see them there, because they are. That way you can deal with it a lot better than if you see them as your enemy that you've got to avoid or fight or resist constantly.
Yeah, it takes a lot of courage, doesn't it, to not conform? I mean, there's peer pressure, there's financial pressure, there's, you know, home, sometimes in your own home. That's kind of, sometimes that's the worst pressure, to conform to the things of this world that are not in anybody's best interest. And to how do you renew your mind?
You don't renew mortal mind. You claim the mind that is the Christ mind, which is our mind, the only mind, God.
Yeah. And you do it in the quiet of your own sanctuary, don't you?
Yes.
Between you and God. You do it by studying the lesson, by reading the Bible, by reading what Mrs. Eddy says.
And by praying.
Yeah.
And then by getting out in the world and living it when you are tempted, to stand fast, because you can't just be in your room and pray it and then get out and lose it all. You do stand fast. And whatever is your duty to do, you can do without harm to yourself. But to put yourself in situations that you know are very anti what you and your heart believe in is not a wise thing. That's casting your pearls before swine. I wanted to make that point as well. If you have to, you can do it without harm to yourself, but you don't seek it. And you'll find as you grow in science, there are less and less things that you're just not going to want to do anymore. I was reading, yes, it was in Miscellaneous Writings yesterday, where Mrs. Eddy, you know, everyone was inviting her to stay at their home so she could go to the World Fair.
In Chicago.
And what did she say, Jeremy?
She said, no, I'm going to stay basically in the one mind, and I invite you to join me.
She said the appeal of exhibitions and all of that, it has no appeal to her. She's not going. She's going to stay home and pray and do the mental work. And, yeah, and you're all invited to do that. And I said, amen and amen. Because some of those things I just do not care to do. As Jeremy said, they do not appeal. If they ever did, I'm not sure. But if they did, they don't anymore.
Well, I remember when I first moved to New York, I was so excited. I went everywhere. I went to the Lincoln Center, to the ballet, the opera, this, that, whatever. A lot of, you know, I couldn't have enough of the different films and film forums that they were having. And then it became a time that I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I was actually resenting the fact, well, I have to go out and do this and that. And which I did, I needed to do certain things, but I find that I like it more and more to stay home and read the books, read the lesson, and I find a big satisfaction in that. It's a very deep contentment.
Thank you. That's so very true.
And then when you are sent by God to go out to do something, then you are able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
And you'll find you're speaking to people that you share the truth with. You'll be sharing a science and health because you're sent. And whatever you do will be a blessing. And, you know, I told you that film, movie we saw, John, the Gospel of John, which had Christ Jesus in it. And usually those types of films I don't like. But you did see Christ Jesus was right in there in the midst of everybody, rebuking, loving, healing, comforting as he went around. He was not always on the mountaintop praying, although he did do that. What did it say? It said he would rise up early and go and pray deeply. Sometimes that's what we must do in order to renew our mind, refresh ourselves in the truth. We have a busy household. You've got to make that time. I want to share with you, this is a quote that our dear friend Raphael from Uruguay, he sent me a few weeks ago, and it is by Henry David Thoreau. And it is this: as a single footstep will not make a pathway on the earth, so a single thought will not make a pathway in the mind. To make a physical path, we walk again and again. To make a deep mental path, we must think over and over the kind of thoughts we wish to dominate our lives. Is that not true? Over and over, and please do not whine about it, okay? Because when you whine, you've left the path again. If you have trouble, and this is what is called binding the strong man, if you have trouble with the negative thoughts, with the fearful thoughts, the doubtful thoughts, you've got to cast them out and over and over and over and over of the enduring, the good, and the true. That is the task you must lovingly accept for the day. And you can't fool anybody. You can't fool yourself. You certainly can't fool God. You're either doing it or you are not. And if you're not, you're going to get a pruny look on your face, and you're going to be complaining, and nothing's going right, and you're going to
leave
the path
and go on the wrong path
and come back again.
Retrace your steps. And very often, the people that are doing that, they don't even have a real problem. They're just conjuring up problems. You want a real problem? Well, Florence and I know a few people that might have what you'd call a real problem, and you don't want that. All you have to do is look around the nation and the world if you want to see people with real problems. Your little problem isn't so big compared to what other people are having to deal with. So as my father would say, Mary Beth, quit your belly aching. And I tell myself that often.
I think one of the huge points is that previously, before coming to Christian Science, it was very difficult because that outside pressure from the world, you didn't know if you were right or wrong. But the beauty of Christian Science is that God gives us this moral standard, and then when you get the rewards of a demonstration, whether it's through the help of a practitioner or on your own, and you see the real proof that God is, and it makes it so much easier to stand up against, like you're talking about, all the problems that everybody else has. I mean, I look at problems I had previous to Christian Science, and they were a whole lot worse than they are now.
Yes.
Yeah.
So true. Thank you.
And the temptations of the world are many, but I'm remembering years ago, Mrs. Evans was teaching us, and she was really rough on gossip. And one of the things that came from her teaching was, think about this. Can you say, thus saith the Lord, before you open your mouth and let it come out? And that was the discipline. I remember that because it meant a lot to me. That's the discipline.
Thank you. And you can say that about the thoughts that come into your head, too. Thus saith the Lord. Did God tell you this? Are you ruminating about your problems? And if you keep ruminating, pretty soon you really will have a problem that you don't want or need. So please catch it early.
In other words, Dan Porter at the door of thought.
I read something in Eustace too, which is beautiful in what we were saying earlier about praying and being in the right mind. He's saying that, this is on page 765 in his book, Clear, Correct Teaching of Christian Science. He says that you understand what prayer really means. It is the pure realization that there is no attraction apart from mind. There is no attraction apart from mind. There is no presence or power that foists itself upon man as his mind to encourage him to turn to anything apart from mind for completeness and satisfaction. There is nothing apart from mind to give him happiness. I feel like that's what happens, you know, as you learn more and more, the things that you used to be so attracted to, it's happened to me, they just dropped off. I used to love to buy records, just not so many. I even brought the ones I had in England here, attached to them, so to speak. But I don't recall the last time I looked at any of them. It's just taken a back seat.
Yes, that's how it is. That's how it is. These tyrants that seem to have ruled our lives, they're no longer tyrants when they're faced. And that word in the lesson, exterminated. The exterminator of error is the great fact that God good is the only mind, and the suppositious opposite of infinite mind, called devil or evil, is not mind, is not truth, but error without intelligence or reality. And that's just what Florence described, an example, when you face it. Now, what does the word exterminate mean?
Wipe finish it. Finish it off.
Yes.
Annihilate.
Destroy utterly. Destroy utterly. And it is so important, because if you don't destroy it utterly, by recognizing, as the rest of this says, that it's there's no room for error if God is all. If you don't destroy it utterly, what will happen?
Like a weed, it'll come back.
It'll come up.
Yes, Mrs. Eddy's article, Fidelity. Oh, stupid gardener. The weeds will keep popping back.
And there's a reason why it can be exterminated. And what's that?
Based on God. It wasn't true in the first place.
It wasn't real in the first place. If you don't exterminate it, you're making it real in your own consciousness. That's why it can be exterminated. And when you have exterminated an error that's been plaguing you, then you've made a step in science. It's a crown of rejoicing. It's a star in your crown. And once you've exterminated, it can't come back. It might try to appear in a different form, but...
Well, and that goes to... The strong man, number 6, our master asked, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? In other words, how can I heal the body without beginning with his so-called mortal mind, which directly controls the body? When disease is once destroyed in this so-called mind, the fear of disease is gone, and therefore the disease is thoroughly cured. Mortal mind is the strong man, which must be held in subjection before its influence upon health and morals can be removed. This error conquered, we can despoil the strong man of his goods, namely sin and disease. It's the fear if something keeps popping up again, that just is an indication that you still are afraid of it. You think it was real. It did happen. It did affect you. It was horrible. Oh, my gosh, it was just terrible. Oh, I had this awful, awful. I was in bed for weeks, and I am so afraid it's going to happen again. So what do you do with that?
Face it and see that you are nothing from back then and you're nothing now.
Yes.
And keep declaring it till you know it. And you will, you keep declaring it, you will be able to prove it. And once you prove it, then you know it.
I see it as animal magnetism. And I say, get thee behind me, Satan.
Good.
Good.
Yes.
And you do that as often as you need, whenever you need to.
And you do not think about it or go over it in your mind. You do not tell all your friends and relatives about what happened. You realize it was no more true than a bad dream, because that's what it was. That's what it means by saying it's animal magnetism. You had a bad dream. You would not be scared to death that a bad dream would happen again. And in this way, you do destroy it. And then you also, and this to me is what has helped me the most, is you realize by doing all this, you are disobeying what?
God.
God. The first commandment. You are bowing down to another God before the one God. You're saying evil exists. Evil affected me. So that is what? That's how you root it out and exterminate it. Carpenter says about a healing, after you've had a healing, what's the last thing you have to do?
Know that it never happened.
Thanks. No, it can't be reversed.
Yes, but also know that it never happened. And people will say, well, of course it happened. Well, again, if it wasn't good, this is our science, this is our absolute science. If it wasn't good, it actually didn't happen. You were having a bad dream.
Yes, I had a bad dream. And that's all it was. It didn't happen in reality.
And you will be surprised. You will be surprised. If you stand on that, what glorious things will take place. That is the ultimate truth. That's not my opinion. And I have used it and worked with this, and things in my past I thought I would never get over have just dissipated, disappeared, certainly lost their sting. And they certainly haven't reoccurred. Because once you know 2 plus 2 equals 4, you can never, ever believe that it equals 5. How could you? This is how you get to root of the problem. This is how you bind the strong man. It's not easy sometimes. Many of you have been thinking lousy thoughts for years and years and years. I certainly did.
That path.
Just that beautiful quote from Henry Thoreau. So you've got to fight those bad thoughts. You can't just constantly be a little weakling and give in. You have no mental muscle. And if you...
Nor should we be discouraged if it requires a lot of consistent effort to eradicate them.
That's right.
It's worth it.
It's worth it.
And it's a pearl of great price.
And it will keep going on until you face it. You can't avoid this. You can't run from it. You can't whine over it.
And you can't just want to be comfortable, so then you don't do it. You just keep complaining about the discomfort. You know, discomfort, yes, but you're rooting it out. So let it all come down. I'll stand and know the truth. It's not easy. I don't think anybody is saying that, but it's something, you know, I've had to do. I'm sure everybody here has had to do.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Florence. And it didn't. And Mrs. Eddy even says, very few understood the discomfort that they felt when they were in Jesus' presence. Remember that? Because the rebuke of the Christ is uncomfortable.
Yes.
to the human mind, because it's the one thing that will destroy the false beliefs.
Just that the warfare of oneself is grand.
It is.
Well, it is.
And if you think there's another way, then please try it. I've tried other ways, and it didn't work.
I also keep thinking that this can only bless me.
Absolutely. That's why all things work together for good. That was in the lesson, too. To them who are called according to his purpose, to them that love God, it'll work out. It will bless you if you follow this path. And you'll be surprised. You'll be thinking you're in the thick of it, and then suddenly it's gone.
I think this study on mind has also made me so appreciate Mrs. Eddy for giving us the scientific statement of being. Because really, when I really like read it over and over, take each sentence, or, you know, there is no life. I mean, all of it, he's telling us to know this 1 + 1, that then no lie about it will be true. I find it so powerful. It really is. It's telling us God is all in all. Spirit is immortal. It's very strong if we don't just say it, you know, as one of those things we just say. But it's very powerful.
Yes, and this is the path that you're building when you say these powerful truths to yourself and imbibe them. Not like, as Florence says, not just repeating it like a parrot, but dwelling on it. Do you really believe God is all in all? I've said, I remember the day that dawned on me what that meant. That does mean you have nothing to fear. God is all in all. There's nothing but him. So whatever you think of and you're afraid of is just your misconception of what the truth is. It's really right there in your very presence. That is all there is. There's nothing but God.
And it can be proven. That's the whole point. And as Florence said, once you prove it to yourself, then you begin to see what a power it is. And the more you prove it, the greater the power it will be to you. Because it, in truth, is the only power. What a comfort. But it doesn't come overnight. It's, what, line upon line, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little.
I found this in the Blue Book this week on page 227. Mrs. Eddy says, "You all heal. You all have demonstrations. Now, in regard to long ones, have patience. Keep on and on living the truth and declaring it. Never give up. Be patient, and patience will have her perfect work." She said here, what about the long ones? As I am very tired of everyone quoting of the instantaneous healing. There were long ones in those days. There was also, in questions and answers, someone said, "Well, why don't your students have healings like Christ Jesus had?" She was getting that too. I couldn't believe it. And that is the human negative mind. It is constantly looking for what is wrong, what's not right. It never sees anything good. And that is the bind of strong man, again, that must be bound. That negative tendency. Always seeing the worst. Always fearing the worst. What got the babbly people in trouble?
They wanted to do what they wanted to do, and they wanted to do it their own way. And they were had all the arguments of self-justification. Just saying, "Oh yeah, this is it." But it ended up falling apart anyway because it was godless.
Very, very godless.
So they were motivated by fear and pride. all the ungodlike motives.
Fear and pride and ingratitude, I think, are three of the strongest of the strong men. Go ahead, who is going to speak?
I was going to say that they thought they could do stuff without God. They didn't need him.
Yes, tell me what pride is. That's one definition of it. You don't need God.
Love of yourself.
Love of yourself.
Personal ambition.
Thank you.
The sentiment that says, don't tell me, I know what I'm doing.
I got that.
And it goes before a fall, and it's an abomination to the Lord if you read Proverbs. But, you know, when I was here starting out, Mrs. Evans used to just laugh at me for being prideful. And then she would say, and you don't have anything to be prideful about. Now, I honestly didn't even know what pride was, but it ruled me. That song, our beautiful hymn, Pride Ruled My Will. Now, it was true. I had nothing to be prideful about. I had not won an Olympic gold medal. I hadn't done anything great in my life. So why was I prideful? And how was I prideful? I can't tell you how long I wrestled with this strong man. I've wrestled and wrestled. And finally, I realized that when I was too prideful to let anyone know I had a problem, you see, yes, I didn't want anyone to know I had any problems. I was little Miss Perfect. And I did all I could to keep that fake face persona to the public. And that was my pride. And I didn't even know I had it. I didn't know. I didn't know that's what was going on in my head when I was that. And, of course, with the pride comes the shame. I didn't want anybody to know because I just feel terrible. I didn't want anybody to know I made a mistake. And along with that was something I had to admit to myself, too. With all this, I honestly thought I was better than other people. Why was I trying to be so perfect so I could be better than everybody else? I was so good. I was so loving. I never had any problems. Oh, it was so exhausting. I was so miserable.
And everybody around you was miserable.
And Harriet speaks from great experience, as were my... So guess what finally happened?
Had a fall?
Huge fall, yes. And I couldn't hide it anymore. It was all over the place. Everybody knew. Nothing was right in my life, and the whole world knew about it. And, the shame of it all. But, you know, after it all settled down, I was so relieved. It was such a relief to know, yes, I'm a member of the human race. Well, isn't that something? And, yes, I made plenty of mistakes in my life. And I don't have to try to be some perfect thing. I just need to be what God made me. But that was my strong man that I wrestled with. Maybe some of you would like to tell of your strong man.
Well, that's what I liked about the responsive reading where it said, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I've been carrying that around because of the pride I struggle with and wanting to think I can do good instead of giving God credit.
Well, that's it. You see, that's it too. You think you can do good. You think you are good. It is a selfhood apart from God. Only God is good. Such a relief. Oh, gosh, it's such a relief.
Yes. I think the other side, the opposite is also pride in a way. Again, a self apart from God. When you think you're not worthy, you don't deserve this, you know, feel all intimidated all the time and all this. That's just as bad.
Mm-hmm. And Mrs. Eddy, I think, refers to that as the worst form of pride.
The meanest form of pride. That was me.
Yes.
Until the disguise is stripped off.
Yes. And also, some of that is just an excuse to not to do. I can't do that. Oh, goodness. I used to do that too. Oh, she can do it so much better than I. And I thought I was being quite, modest. And I'm just no good. But in the meantime, I didn't want to do things. It was a big fat excuse. It can be anyway.
Mm-hmm. But it's bad because it makes every good that even happens, you don't fully appreciate it, you know, really be grateful for it. You just, maybe it couldn't have happened to me, sort of thought. I mean,
right.
It's wicked.
It's very, very wicked. And these are the little foxes that spoil the vine. Unless you know what is working in you, and unless you bind that strong man, it will dominate you. So we talked about pride, okay, and fear we often talk about. And that's, again, you're believing that there's a power apart from God. That's Mrs. Eddy says, how you cut off its head with the first commandment. And then the other is ingratitude. You're always thinking about what's not right. You're always looking for what's wrong. Always are looking at that hole in the donut. In the meantime, God has been pouring out blessing after blessing. And you might give a cursory little, oh, thanks very much, but then you're on to the next problem.
Right.
It's a tyrant. And it is the worst. I was that too. I was never grateful. I was always worried. If you're always worried, something bad's going to happen, something horrible's going to happen. Because you've never really been grateful for all the good that God has given, and you haven't acknowledged it.
You're malpracticing on yourself.
You are.
A lot of self-pity.
Yes.
And you're denying God.
Yes. Dishonoring Him, you know, that He created such a thing.
And
right.
That He could make mistakes.
Yeah.
Or that there's some other power beside Him that fights with Him.
And also denying man's God-given ability to listen to God and obey Him and do good in this world.
All of it is a selfhood apart from God, all of it. And if you aren't really grateful, then I've told you all to you keep your gratitude book. And I mean that. These aren't idle words. Every night, if you have trouble keeping it in your head, you write it down. Mrs. Eddy talks about it being the worst sin of all. And she saw it. Why do you think so many of her students left? What was that? It's all of these. Strong men that weren't bound. Certainly one of ingratitude after all she gave. Pride, that they could go off and do better than she taught.
Or she thought they just couldn't take it.
Yeah, they couldn't take it. But that again, that's that false sense of self that Florence was talking about. I'm no good, I can't do it. I. You see, the strong man is this carnal mind, and it's not you. And once you realize, you just have to be what God made you and reflect Him in His image and likeness and give all credit due to Him, that'll fall away. Not you. There's no way you can improve this false sense of self.
You can't fix matter. You can't fix the human mind. It's not fixable.
The other thing is, personal sense is bound to get offended. So the cure is to not have any.
That's right.
No flesh will have glory before Him.
Yeah, it's over and over in this lesson about that. No glory. God gets it all. Over and over. And if you don't do it, you're going to be confused. It says, the supposed existence of more than one mind, and ingratitude, fear, negativity, pride, that's the belief of a mind apart from God, was the basis era of idolatry. This era assumed Now listen to what you lose. Loss of spiritual power. Loss of the spiritual presence of life as infinite truth without an unlikeness. And loss of love is ever present and universal. And you know who did it? Your own disobedience does it. God didn't do it. Nobody's held a hatchet over your head and told you to be prideful, ungrateful. No one's making you be that way. And if someone, if in your past you think someone did it, well, let's get over that past.
Could you address guilt as a possible version of that?
Absolutely. Guilt is another strong man.
Right. Guilt is the result of your having attached the error to yourself and clinging to the error. I made a mistake. So I am a mistake. No. Detach yourself from the mistake. Learn from the mistake and move on.
It's a wonderful thing about Christian Science to learn that I don't need to like identify with these things that I did wrong in the past, but you can let that go and just move forward with God.
It is.
Exactly.
Once you've made your peace with God and with anyone else who might have been involved in the problem, then you're free, just as Saul became Paul. And if you don't do that, once again, it's disobedience, because you will never be able to testify. You'll never be able to be of use to God. You'll just go around and around with your guilt. And at that point, it's disobedience. There's legitimate guilt if you've really done something wrong. You should feel guilty, and you should repent and go through the process of pond and purpose. But once you've done that, if the guilt stays, then that's disobedience. You've got to do what Fairley says. Get thee behind me, Satan, and get on with your life. It'll try to destroy you if you don't. This strong man is not nice.
I think the guilt thing, too, is covered in the, you know, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Right. It is. And that's why you must forgive everyone else as well.
You're just total self-centered.
Self-centered?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally self. All of this is self. That's the adamant of error. It's all about self. There's no God in any of this. Now, I wanted to ask you a question. In Matthew, it says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world and neither in the world to come." What does that mean?
You can't deny Christ.
Yes.
We must be obedient.
Using mental power incorrectly, too.
Yes, that's close, sir. Mrs. Eddy answers this. Questions and Answers, page 55. And listen. So you'd know what this means. You should know. Otherwise, you would be apt to be terrified. So what is this? Opposite to good is the universal claim of evil that seeks the proportions of good. There may be those who have learned the power of unspoken thought, use it to harm rather than to heal, and who are using the power against Christian Scientists. This giant sin is the sin against the Holy Ghost spoken of in Matthew 12:31-32. This, my friend, is your protection. If anyone, and I know this, and I know it all the time, if anyone would try to harm this church, the good work that's going on,
any of its members,
it's a sin against the Holy Ghost, and it will go back on them, and woe be unto anyone who does. And this is not malpractice. This is the truth. This is the laws of the universe. I mean, why should someone try to mentally harm one of God's children and get away with it? Uh-uh. Did God do it? No. But that's a wicked era that will destroy itself. So we know the era goes back on itself and destroys itself with accelerated force. We know things like, do mine anointed no harm. We've been in this fight for a long time, and we've learned how to protect ourselves. We certainly say that mental malpractice cannot what? Yes. We live with these truths. Okay, well, I will have Gary end today with fidelity, the last few paragraphs.
Warmed by the sunshine of truth, watered by the heavenly dews of love, the fruits of Christian Science spring upward and away from the sordid soil of self and matter. Are we clearing the gardens of thought by uprooting the noxious weeds of passion, malice, envy, and strife? Are we picking away the cold, hard pebbles of selfishness, uncovering the secrets of sin, and burnishing anew the hidden gems of love, that their pure perfection shall appear? Are we feeling the vernal freshness and sunshine of enlightened faith? The weeds of mortal mind are not always destroyed by the first uprooting. They reappear, like devastating witch grass, to choke the coming clover. O stupid gardener, watch their reappearing, and tear them away from their native soil until no seedling be left to propagate and rot. Among the manifold soft chimes that we fill the haunted chambers of memory, this is the sweetest. Thou shalt be faithful.
Thank you all for joining our class, and we'll have a powerful service, and we'll go forth in the love of God.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Beautiful.